This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and Sirius XM Channel 371.
Making her debut as co-host becomes Tiger TV. Kelly Gramlich joins us. Kelly, good morning. How are you?
Pack, I am doing wonderfully. Thank you so much for having me. And yeah, I'm not sure. Do they realize that they have two Clemson grads hosting this show right now? Because this could really go off the rails.
Yeah, it's Tiger TV. And I'm sure somewhere Eric McClain's got his Traeger grill coming down the driveway. He's going to be knocking through the French doors looking to make it a threesome for crying out loud. But despite all that, we will continue to stream live on the ESPN app. You've got us on SiriusXM 371. And you know the number, 844-SAY-ACCN. So, Kelly, we're going to cover all kinds of stuff. We've got great guests, which we'll get into. We had hoops nonstop yesterday, during the day, during the night. More coming up today. Louisville in action. Can't wait to see what Dane Evans does. Some good, the bad, and the ugly, though, yesterday when it came to the ACC and the women's tournament. Again, the good news was early, and then they got ugly late.
It did. And, you know, some of these teams that were in the 8-9 games, or I think, you know, Virginia Tech was a 7, so you end up playing a 2. You and I were talking about this before the show started. The ones and the twos in this women's tournament are elite. Now, two of those are ACC teams with Louisville and NC State, but it's really those teams and everyone else. Now, to me, that's a little more parity than normal. You've got 8 teams that I think could legitimately win the national championship, but Syracuse, Virginia Tech, Wake, all these different teams, Florida State, you're in that 8-9 game. So even if you do advance, you have to play one of the very best teams in the country. And Virginia Tech got one of the most difficult 2 seeds probably ever in this Baylor team, who is looking really good, Pack.
All right, so we're going to get into all the games. Again, we'll preview Louisville later today. 5 o'clock tip for the Cardinals as they take on Northwestern. But before we do all that stuff, you were one busy lady yesterday. I mean, you're calling games. It's late night. Now you're up early. You're on Mark Packer time working on 2 hours sleep. So what's tougher, playing or calling the game? You've been there.
Well, playing in a game, you generally get very nice rest, right? You get some good sleep. You have a nice pregame meal. You get to maybe hit the cold tub or I would always get in the hot tub at Little John before to warm up my old lady knees. Wow, you guys pulled some clips. Okay.
Yeah.
I think playing in a game was easier just because it's natural. It's what you do. You're not thinking as much. You're just playing. So I think that's easier. But, oh, wow, look at that. Young Kelly, so many years ago, Pack, so many years ago. But these call-in games from home, not bad. You just, you know, set up your stuff, you call the game, you go downstairs, get a snack. I mean, I can't complain either way.
Yeah, you got a pretty good gig. By the way, before we get started, I mean, officially get started breaking down these games, a shout-out to Grandma, because you know she's up in Adam in beautiful Austin, Texas, right? You got to give her a shout-out.
Oh, without a doubt. And if there's anyone, now my parents, of course, are amazing, but if there's anyone that watches and listens to every single thing I do, listens to the radio show every day down in South Carolina, it is Grandma. So shout out to my grandma. I know she's up in Adam, an hour early Texas time, but that's not going to stop her, Pack. She's up and ready to go.
I love it. All right, so let's get to business. We said it was kind of the good, the bad, and the ugly yesterday from an ACC basketball perspective with the women's tournament. And unlike the men's tournament, Kelly, a lot of chalk for the ladies' side. In fact, I started messing around with it last time when the game's finally ended. We've had 40 women's games so far. The higher seed has won 32 times, 32 of 40. The flip side with the men, we've had 47 games. One, of course, vacated with the VCU issue. And of the 47 games with the men, 31 times the higher seed has won. So a little more chaos on the men's side with the ladies, like you said. Man, the one seed, the two seeds are really, really talented. And one of those one seeds would be NC State. And the Wolfpack got started yesterday. Even though they trailed by 1 at halftime, Wolfpack figures out a way. They win, survive in advance. But your take of NC State yesterday?
Well, survive in advance is very appropriate here with NC State. And look, I think NC State right now, they're not 100%. Kayla Jones is injured. She got hurt in the first game. In the second quarter of their first round matchup against North Carolina A&T, She did not play yesterday. Now, we'll see if she plays in the Sweet 16. Kai Crutchfield told us after the game, she said, I'm looking forward to playing with KJ in the Sweet 16. So we'll see what happens. But she's a first-team All-ACC performer, so they're missing her. I think they miss her leadership and her poise. But NC State got it figured out. Look, that first half, South Florida's game plan, the very top of the scout was, we are going to beat up Lisa Cunane. We're going to take her lunch money, and we're going to see if she can handle it. And in the first half, they used almost all their fouls, Pac. You only get five. I had to remind people on the broadcast, guys, you only get five. I mean, you're just hacking away. But Cunane did respond well in the second half. And I thought Ja'Kia Brown-Turner, who to me is already a star, but she is just going to be so good for her next 2 years in the ACC. She can do it all. She kept them in that first half, and then in the third quarter, State made a run. There's something about these third quarters for NC State. They really seem to get it together. I don't know if Wes Moore has some incredible halftime speech or whatever, but that third quarter seems to be the ticket for NC State.
You know, they've won 10 in a row, so they're playing their best basketball as far as the stretch goes. But I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing, Kelly, because I think at some point in time, you know what, you got to find a way to win games without your A effort, right? And that's true for the men. It's true for the women. That at some point in time, you're going to have a game that, guess what, shots don't go, guys. Somebody gets in foul trouble, you know, whatever the case may be, and you figure out a way to win the game. Survive in advance, you hear that term all the time. And I think NC State, a little slow start in game one. Yesterday, you trailing at halftime. I think that kind of calms the nerves a little bit when you have a team that expects to win, that you say, hey, listen, let's go get to work. And I think that's what you saw in both third quarters in those games. That they said, guess what? Let's roll up the sleeves. Let's go. And they did. And they took care of business.
Yeah, for sure. And when I look at their bracket, you know, we talked about Baylor, a two seed in the Riverwalk, which is right above them. You've got Maryland as a two seed. You've got Louisville. I think their draw, NC State's, is pretty beneficial. A&M is your two. A&M struggled with Troy in their first game. Now, they only beat him by single digits. Now, we'll see how A&M looks today, but they get the winner of Belmont, Indiana. And this is weird, too, Pac, and tell me how you feel about this. Indiana-Belmont, which is the game that NC State is going to play the winner, they play today. NC State played yesterday. So NC State has an extra day of rest. I don't know if that's a one-seed treatment or whatever that is, but that's not normal. That's kind of a COVID bracket situation, I think.
Well, here's the flip. Again, I'll play devil's advocate with you. Yeah, you get rest, but you also don't know who you're going to play. And, you know, we're going to talk about Georgia Tech here in a second. They know, they won, they already know they're going to prepare for number one South Carolina. Mm-hmm. But when you're the one seed, I think rest is probably more important than preparation from that standpoint. And you're going to have time anyhow. Games aren't till the weekend. So I think if you're NC State, yeah, you got to get everybody healthy. And you mentioned Kayla Jones with the patella tendon injury, which I can relate to because I think that's what I have, some torn tendon in the knee, which I can tell you is not comfortable. That hurts, I will tell you. It does not feel good. But you got to get whole, you got to get healthy. But the good news for NC State, three consecutive Sweet 16 appearances, and Wes Moore has done just a simply awesome job in Raleigh.
100%. He's been excellent. And, you know, you never want to take a Sweet 16 for granted. Sweet 16s are an incredible accomplishment. NC State's back there again. I am so intrigued, though, to see what they can do now. Now that they've made it back to this point where they have been under Wes Moore. This is what we all expected, right? Sweet 16, NC State's there. Can they win the next two? Can they make a Final Four? To me, Pac, to get to that truly elite status, and we saw this with Clemson football. We've seen it with others. You win a bunch of regular season games. You win your league. But can you do it in the postseason? And we know in basketball, it's all about Final Fours. So can NC State make a Final Four? And then, of course, see what else they can do. I think they're very capable of winning it all. But I think if you make a Final Four, you really cement yourself in that upper tier in the sport.
I think there's a lot of similarities, and we're going to talk about this later in the show. Florida State's men's program in hoops and NC State's women's program in hoops. Again, here's two teams that have made three consecutive Sweet 16s, but there's a bigger prize, right? I think both of them are looking to knock that door down on what you just talked about, and that is get to the Final Four. You want that national respect where it's an automatic, it just rolls off the tongue. That's what you got to do. And so no matter how many games you win, like you said, in the regular season, you can win ACC tournaments and all that's great. But to get to that quote unquote ultimate status, Final Four is a part of the gig. So we'll get into that though later on. Another good from the afternoon and into the night was Georgia Tech. Survived a crazy game. The first go around down 17 at halftime, found a way to win in overtime. A 4-5 matchup. I just talked about all the chalk in the women's game. Well, here's a reverse. Georgia Tech was the 5 seed, West Virginia the 4 seed. Georgia Tech takes care of business, and really, I thought it was very impressive doing so.
We had 2 5-seeds win yesterday with Georgia Tech and Iowa. Yeah. And, Pac, this is where I think not having the home floor has been very interesting in this tournament. In a normal tournament of the last couple years, this game would have been played in Morgantown. But it was on a neutral floor. I thought that really helped Georgia Tech. They got off to a great start and commanded and controlled the game the entire time. The other day against Stephen F. Austin, that was a little bit of an ugly game. I think even Nell Fortner would tell us that. But Georgia Tech can win ugly, right? They play defense. They're super gritty. They don't mind winning ugly. When they're playing well offensively, when Lodamai Lawton is hitting outside shots, it opens the floor for them so much. It lets Kubai go to work. And I think defensively, if they bring it, they can beat almost anyone in on a given night. If they bring their defense, which they always do, and they're able to shoot the ball, that's when they get dangerous. And that's where they not only make a Sweet 16, but they blow out a really good West Virginia team. So I was very impressed with Georgia Tech. It looked like night and day from their first game to their second game.
Nell Fortner will join us in the Power Hour, so we look forward to having Coach on. But the Jackets shoot 52% from the field, 43% from three. That's a good combination. A comfortable win where a lot of folks thought that was going to be a rock fight. Was not the case. Jackets look good. All right, so we told you we got the good, the bad, and the ugly. That was the good part. Unfortunately, for teams like Virginia Tech and Syracuse, you loaded up against Baylor and UConn. And we pointed out the one line and the two line in this tournament are really, really, really good. And we found that out with the two games last night with Syracuse and Virginia Tech basically being taken to the woodshed. That was ugly.
It was. And our coach here on ACC Network, Coach McGraw, she said it best on All ACC last night. These teams in Syracuse, Virginia Tech, they've taken good steps forward. But the next goal for them is to get out of that 8-9 game. That is not where you want to be, or even the 7 seed, because you have to play a 2 or a 1. So winning your first game, that's an accomplishment. There's no doubt about it. South Dakota State was a ranked team. Syracuse knocked them off. Virginia Tech beat a good Marquette team. But then you see UConn and you see Baylor. And specifically for Syracuse against UConn, I thought they looked tired, Pac. They're down to like 7 players. Priscilla Williams is hurt. Some other players are not with the team due to violation of team rules. So they just looked exhausted, and they were turning the ball over against UConn. You can't give UConn easy buckets in transition. That's just not going to work. And for Virginia Tech, Baylor, grief, Pat.
I was going to say real quickly before we got Baylor to Baylor, they were unbelievable.
Oh,
I
mean, my God.
Too big, too strong, too physical, just too good. But one more thing about Syracuse. Probably Tiana's last game that we're going to see her play. With that uni on. And I'm just going to say this. She has been, not only forget about a player, forget again, that's a given. But what she represents, how she's handled herself, her story, everything she's been through, she has been a really, really special player in this league. We're going to miss her.
It's incredibly inspiring. I can't even imagine half of what she's gone through, right? And I saw my good friend Brent Axe, who's up on ESPN Syracuse. He has been campaigning for Syracuse to retire Tiana Manikahia's jersey. There aren't any female jerseys that have been retired in the Carrier Dome. And I think that would be incredibly fitting. She obviously did it on the floor. She has set records for assists, and she had an incredible career on the floor, but off the floor, an inspiration to so many people. Mm-hmm. And I am with Brent. I think they need to retire Tiana Manikahia's jersey, hang it in the rafters of the Carrier Dome.
Yeah, she's been fantastic, and we have had so much fun with her on this show. And, of course, I'm sure you have seen her story if you watched ACC Network for any extended period of time. So it's sad to see her go out that way. But you mentioned UConn is really, really talented, a team that certainly can cut down the nets, big picture. Now we get to Virginia Tech. We just had Elizabeth Kitley on the show. She's had a great year. Shepard's been fantastic. Kenny Brooks has done an incredible job. The first tournament win since 06. But there are some times you're better off just staying in bed. And that seemed to be the case. And you mentioned with Baylor. I mean, they were so good. Kim Mulkey is a Hall of Fame coach, and she talked about that might be the best defensive team that she's ever put on the floor. And when you have a coach of that stature who's won that many games and that many titles make a comment like that, you know you're in for a long night.
Pac, when I saw that quote, I thought, oh my gosh, like this is the best defensive team you've ever had, possibly the best defensive performance you've seen in the NCAA tournament. She's had three national title teams.
Yeah.
And some teams that were really, really good that didn't win the national title. So that is impressive. The way they guard is they just swallow you up. They have so much size. They have so much length. They rebound the ball really well. Melissa Smith is just tremendous. I love Moon Urson just because you can't forget who she is. Her name is Moon. It's amazing. And she's an incredible athlete. They bring Carrington off the bench and she's throwing, she's dropping backpack with like a seven-step drop and hitting people like she's throwing touchdown passes in that game. It was just crazy. Baylor looks really good.
Yeah, they are a dangerous two. Again, the ones and the twos in this tournament are filthy good. That's the only way I could describe it because you're like, well, you know, yeah, they look good. They can win it all. I mean, you could say those eight teams, pick them out of a hat, and good luck, right? That's how it works. So some good and some bad yesterday from an ACC perspective. The good news, NC State and Georgia Tech move on to the Sweet 16. Again, Nell Fortner will join us later on. Speaking of guests, we got a little bit of everything today. Todd DeSorbo is going to join us. If you don't know that name, you will, because he is the swimming and diving coach at the University of Virginia. And the ladies, for the first time since Dirt, just won the national championship. The men get cranked up today. So Todd will join us coming up later on. Michael Sowers from Duke Lacrosse will join us. Duke, Virginia showdown coming up this week. Anthony Polite makes his debut on the show from Florida State. He just loaded up and had a big game against Colorado, leading the Noles as they get ready for their Sweet 16 movement and a big game against Michigan. And I mentioned Nell Fortner is going to join us. Jay Billis as well. So a little bit of everything today on the show. All right. And we'll take your phone calls too at 844 Say ACCN. That's 844-SAY-ACCN. If you just turned on the TV, no, that is not West Durham. A partner still under the weather a little bit, but Kelly Gramlich hanging out with us for the next couple hours, and we look forward to it. All right, when we come back, we continue the discussion. Today, Louisville, they're in action, trying to get to the Sweet 16. They got Northwestern. We'll break that down, and a big picture look and what's going on with the ladies in the tournament. A lot of chalk, but we know NC State, Georgia Tech move on. Louisville looking to join them. All that coming up next. Packer and Durham right here on ACC Network and streaming live on the ESPN app.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham. No Durham. Kelly Gramlich, in for Wes. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number for the program. All right, we went through what happened yesterday and last night with the ladies. There is one ACC team in action later this afternoon. We mentioned Louisville taking on Northwestern. And, you know, you think of Louisville, Kelly, and the first thing that pops in my head is Dana Evans. She has been sensational during her career. And Dana needs to say, hey, let's get going. It's been kind of interesting the last couple weeks with Dana and her performance.
It has. And, you know, this is a tough one for me, Pac, because I am the president of the Dana Evans fan club. I have completely owned up to that. I think she's been incredible, two-time ACC Player of the Year. And in the regular season, she was clicking on all cylinders. 20-point game here, 28 here. She would add 7 assists. She was just incredible. And in the ACC tournament, she struggled a bit. And then in the first game, she struggled a bit. And for me, the biggest difference with Dana right now over her last four games has been how she has shot the three. I think when she's able to shoot the ball well from three, she opens up the floor, A, for the rest of her team, but also for herself. Because she's so quick, she has that first step. If you are truly respecting her three ball and you close out fully on her, she is gone. I mean, she's going to leave you in the dust. And you look at her three-point numbers here, that's stark. 38% in the first 22 games, 18% in the last five. And look, all shooters have been through slumps. It happens to the best of us, there's no doubt. And the best way to get out of a slump, pack is to just shoot your way out of it. You got to keep shooting. Her team has carried her through. They almost beat NC State with Dana not shooting the ball well. So that speaks to her supporting cast and how they have really stepped up. Haley Van Lith has looked good. Keanna Smith is shooting the ball better. So I think that they can definitely get past Northwestern if Dana's still not shooting the ball as well. But as they get to Georgia and possibly Stanford, Dana is going to have to shoot the ball well. But that's the biggest difference for me so far.
So let me get this right. A shooter is telling me the best way for a shooter to get out of a slump is to shoot, right? Just let it rip.
Just keep shooting it. Oh, yeah. Just keep shooting it. Just chuck it up there. That's the best way. I mean, you have to. There's no other way. What else are you going to do? What else are you going to do? Just chuck it.
Well, how about assist? Can we get somebody else involved? I'm just asking a shooter here. I mean, we ever heard of an assist? That's overrated, right? We're not going for that.
Well, here's the thing. Dana Evans can pass it. Dana has heard of assists. I wasn't too familiar with the concept, but Dana definitely is a good distributor.
So you're telling me when the ball got to the wing, it was going up is what you're telling me. Right? When number five touched
but that was my
hit
role.
The glass.
Yeah, you know, that was my job.
We had Buddy Boeheim on the show yesterday, and of course, Buddy's shooting lights out, and in case you missed it, we're going to play that for you later this hour as well. And I was trying to ask him yesterday about Hinkle, and you know, when shooters get in that mode where all of a sudden the basket looks like the size of my basement, you can't touch it enough. And it doesn't matter if you're in a dome or Hinkle or whatever the case may be, you get in that zone. And there's certain places that just, the rim looks big, right? I mean, I know when you played, you probably walked into certain gyms and went, man, I'm going to make everything I look at. The basket looks like it's this big for crying out loud. And then you go to some places, it looks like you're trying to putt a three-footer in a golf, right? And he's like, man, it won't go in. So it's funny what the shooter's mentality is when all of a sudden, hey, you kind of go through a funk. Like you said, the only way to get through it, keep firing. Let it rip. See where it goes.
Then that's exactly right for Dana. I'm 100% sure that's what Jeff Walls and the coaching staff are telling her, because she was shooting last year, this year, she's a 40% shooter from three. It's not like she's down at 32, 33%. She's 40%. She's been one of the best shooters in the ACC for a couple years now. So it's only a matter of time. And a lot of this is mental, I think. And look, the mental part of shooting the ball is the toughest part. It's that way with a lot of other sports with certain things. So she just kind of has to push through that. And Pac, the best way to push through it, as I've said, keep letting it fly. But the best feeling, there are great feelings in life, all right? One of the best, we're going to do some top five lists later, I think. One of the top five is that feeling when you just know you can't miss and you're hot. Like it's, oh man, it's tough to describe. It's truly one of the best feelings out there.
Let me ask you something with Dana. This is her last go-around. She's had an incredible career. She's a great player, an even better person. Do you get a sense, though, sometimes that, hey, this is my last go-around, and you kind of force the issue where you as opposed to just let it naturally play, let's go. And again, she's got so much experience in these kind of games. But sometimes I wonder, too, that when you realize, hey, this is it. I mean, we don't play well. We're going home. I never wear this jersey again. Sometimes I wonder if there's a little bit of a press where you just kind of go, hey, I just got to take a deep breath and let's just go play basketball.
And again, it's that mental side. I agree with you, Pac. I think that's something that Dana is dealing with right now. The pressure, right? She's put so much pressure, I think, on herself. I don't know if the coaching staff has really put that pressure on her, but I think she puts the pressure on herself as so many driven perfectionist people do. And that's definitely what Dana Evans is. She wants to win a national title. She wants to make a Final Four. The only Final Four she made was as a freshman. And of course, she had the tournament taken away from her last year due to COVID. I think that's part of it too. This is a player who's going to only end up getting three shots at winning a national title and three shots at a Final Four. So inevitably, even though it is your last year as well, you're going to put more pressure on this year because last year you had it all taken away from you. So she has to find a way to perhaps take some of that pressure off herself and just go out there and play ball.
All right. Louisville gets Northwestern. What do we know about Northwestern from the Big Ten?
They're defensive-minded. Okay, they don't shoot a lot of threes. They live in the mid-range. They play a 2-3 matchup zone. So whenever you're in a slump, the best thing to see is a zone. That's what I always think. You can get some good looks up. And but they're really defensive-minded, as I've said. And here's the thing, too, with Louisville. This is where I think Louisville could thrive in this game. Northwestern only starts one player over 6 feet tall. And Louisville, I think when they're most comfortable, they're playing that four-guard lineup. So because Northwestern is not that big, and that player, I believe, is 6'1", so they don't have a ton of size, I think Louisville can roll with their four-guard lineup, run the floor, play fast, play free. So I think this is going to be a really good showing from the Cardinals. And like I said, the players around Dana are really stepping up. HVL looks really good. Keanu Smith has been shooting the ball. So I think this should be a very good position and a very good opportunity for Louisville to get the win and move on to the Sweet 16.
Sure hope that happens. It'd be nice to have, obviously, Louisville, NC State, Georgia Tech, three teams have really kind of elevated themselves here late in the season. We knew about NC State and Louisville all season long, Georgia Tech getting the job done, too. I mentioned Nell Fortner will join us during the Power Hour. All right, quick break. When we come back, we've got a little bit of everything today on the show, including swimming and diving. I know Meg, our director, is so excited because she swims every day, and she's like, it's finally about time. You guys give some love to swimming and diving. And Todd DeSorbo is going to join us, and all he's done is watch the ladies dominate and win the first national championship ever last week. The men's national championships begin today. There you go. That's how we roll in the bed right there every day. We come back. Todd DeSorbo is going to join us talking swimming, diving, and national championships. All that coming up next. Packer and Durham right here on ACC Network.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Packer and Durham. Kelly Gramlich hanging out with us, little Tiger TV today. I don't know. I think it may be a first. Maybe a first a Clemson duo is taking the airwaves here in the mornings. But nevertheless, women's basketball front and center, no doubt. Men's Sweet 16 get cranked up Saturday, Sunday. But we also have swimming and diving. And as mentioned, our director Meg is so excited because over the weekend, the University of Virginia women's swimming and diving team won the national championship for the very first time. Matter of fact, the ACC goes 1-2. NC State coming in the second spot. We go to beautiful Charlottesville, or at least I don't know if Todd's in Charlottesville or not. Men's championships are getting cranked up. Let's see what's going on. Todd DeSorbo joins us. First of all, Todd, congratulations, man. That was some kind of effort by your team over the weekend.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it. It was a lot of fun, certainly.
It's got to be a lot of fun. I mean, when you do something for the very first time ever and the effort put in to have 12 All-Americans, we've had Paige Madden on the show before. That was just a great total team effort.
Yeah, absolutely. We knew we had to have a total team effort to win it. And, the girls really showed out the entire trip. We had 17 there. All of them performed at a really high level. I think, when you have a title like that on the line, everybody elevates, and they certainly did.
I think Kelly froze. Let me follow up with Todd a second. Since we got Kelly on frozen tundra down there in Clemson. When you took over in 2017, I know the vision was, hey, listen, we've got facilities, we can get this done. But really, how realistic was it to think in a matter of 3 to 4 years, you can get this program to the point where, guess what, we're the best in the land?
I thought it was realistic. I don't know that I would have come here and taken this job if I didn't truly believe it was realistic. As a coach professionally, my goals, I have goals as well that I want to accomplish as a coach. And one of those goals was to win a national title as a team. I was at NC State previously before coming to Virginia, and we had a pretty successful program there as well. So, I don't think I would have left if I didn't truly believe that University of Virginia had the ability to attract, national level NCAA champion caliber athletes, as well as, bring in a coaching staff that could develop those athletes and put us in a position to win. So I had more of a 5-year plan. So we're, I guess, a little bit ahead of schedule, but definitely thought that it was, that we would be in a position to be able to contend for a title after 4 or 5 years. But obviously contending for a title is very different than actually winning the title. So it was fun to wrap that up this year.
And Todd, how fitting was it, or ironic is it, that it was a Virginia NC State 1-2 finish, and for the league, never finishing top three, third, I guess, was the highest ever, to go 1-2 in the event, and ironically, given your background, it's Virginia 1, NC State 2, kind of crazy.
Yeah, it is. It's really wild, and I'm really happy for Coach Braden Holloway at NC State. You know, I worked with him there for 6 years before coming here. You know, I think our two teams – being on the East Coast, being so close, are really pushing each other, and have, you know, I think they've elevated us. I think we've elevated them, and it's become a great rivalry that's great for the conference.
We've had Paige Madden on the show a couple times. And in fact, we just had her on after the ACC championships, and she won so many medals. She was actually, she had her phone was being balanced by all the medals that she won, and we were kidding around about it. But she is a delightful young lady. She's great to talk to, a lot of fun, but man, can she fly, right? She is a special talent.
Yeah. Yeah, she's phenomenal. And I got a kick out of your interview with her, by the way, because I think somebody mentioned stacking her medals on Girl Scout cookie boxes.
Right.
One of the parents actually brought Girl Scout cookies to NCAAs for her to stack more medals on. So, but yeah, you know, she's been a leader for our program for 4 years. She's a huge reason why we are, you know, where the program is, where it is today. You know, she's just clutch, you know, she's clutch in every version of that word that you can possibly think of. So, and she was clutch at the national championship, winning three events, being on relays. You know, she's been a leader for us and definitely going to be missed, you know, in the future.
Yeah, no question about that. But you know, you mentioned you don't win national titles with just one great swimmer. The fact that you end up with 12 All-Americas, I think, speaks to the volume and the quality of your team. I mean, it truly is a great, great team.
Yeah, it is, you know, and I think that they all wanted in on the action as well. You know, they all wanted to contribute. So I think that motivated them also, you know, just being there, knowing that we had that opportunity. Every one of them wanted to contribute and contribute as much as possible. So we saw some things out of people that we definitely didn't expect. You know, and got a lot of best case scenarios through the week. So, you know, all's well that ends well.
Yeah, that's really impressive. And, you know, I would sense, too, that when you have that kind of quality, everybody drives everybody, don't they? I mean, in some respects, you kind of not to diminish your efforts here. But, you know, when you've got those quality swimmers, I assume you probably just say, hey, listen, let me just get out of the way and let them go, right? Let them go after
each
other.
Oh yeah, that I've said that on a number of occasions. You know, especially at the competition, you just get out of their way. You know, they know what they're doing. They're elite level athletes. You know, and day in and day out in practice, they're pushing each other and racing each other. And each year, our first years have come in and really elevated the program, elevated everybody, that, you know, all of our returners as well. So, you know, it's been a very positive snowball effect.
All right, I'm going to ask a question, which I don't think I've ever done in 20-some-odd years of interviewing coaches and players. For folks that are watching this morning, and maybe they've got a young son or daughter, and here we are, it's getting ready, you know, springtime, weather's getting better, folks getting out to the pool, hopefully we get the whole COVID thing rolling. How do young people get better as swimmers? I mean, what would you suggest to the parents who have sons and daughters that say, you know what? Swimming would be a great thing if you can get involved with. What would you suggest?
Yeah. You know, I think there's a lot of great summer league programs out there throughout the country, you know, that are just fun. They're fun. They're entertaining. They get kids really interested and excited about swimming. I think that's the really important thing. And the first step is just to enjoy the sport and not get too serious about it too quickly. Beyond that, just finding a coach that can teach you the proper techniques, you know, because the technical aspect of swimming is, you know, is very important, and learning that at a young age is important as well. So, you know, having a coach that can teach you how to swim properly and all the four strokes, as well as just getting involved in a league that really makes it a lot of fun.
Todd, when you recruit, and I know, again, I used to swim when I was young. Now I just go right to the bottom of the pool if I tried. But when you recruit, what is it that you're looking for? I mean, obviously, somebody that's fast is fast. But do you get a sense that a guy or a girl gets better during the course of their career because of something you can do? I know that's a goofy question.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, we definitely recruit based on where they're at currently. as an athlete, their junior year in high school, sophomore year in high school. But we also look at what their potential is and what we feel like we can do with them. And a lot of that's based on, what the type of training that they've done up to that point. How much weightlifting have they been doing? How much intensity type of training have they been doing? And we watch them swim a lot, quite a bit as well. So, and then a good bit of it is personality as well. Our staff is definitely, I would say, unique and different than a lot of other staffs around the country. So we want to make sure we're getting athletes that mold with our staff as well. And then also mold with our women's team and our men's team also, because that can go a long way for their improvement, their happiness, and how much they're going to get out of the program over their 4 years.
When I was in school 100 years ago, the swim team would always be working out like at 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning. Are you one of those guys? Because I know swimmers have a different mentality that, hey, listen, their comfort zone is in the water. It's like, hey, I could put the world in my rearview mirror, get me in the pool, and I am good. It doesn't matter what time of day or night it is.
Yeah, I'm a morning person. I've got the music cranking and bumping in the morning at 6 a.m. when we get in. I think the athletes would prefer to go later. That's for sure. They're not all morning people. but interestingly enough, this year has been really different than most, obviously, because of COVID. And so because of that, our practices have been significantly later in the mornings than they normally have been. And maybe that's, I think it has been a positive thing for us and something that I hope we can continue down in the future. Doing classes online has definitely lent to us having a lot more flexibility on what time of day we can practice. But we're definitely morning people. That's for sure. Early bird gets the worm.
Yeah, you're right about that. All right. So the women got the national championship. Okay, guys, no pressure, right? Tag, you're it. So, what are the expectations for the men heading into the national championships?
Yeah, and that's where I am now. I was back in Charlottesville for about a day and a half, and now we're back in Greensboro. I'm in the hotel. The men's meet starts tonight at 6 p.m. I think our men are seeded to finish top 15. I think if we're anywhere in that top 15, that would be a great season for our guys. We were 10th 2 years ago. The highest UVA's ever finished on the men's side is 8th. So I think challenging in that range will be great. We're a really young team on the men's side. We only have on our whole roster, we only have 3 seniors and 3 juniors. So it's a young group of guys, and they're continuing to learn, but they're improving a lot as well. And, I think they're excited to prove themselves alongside the women as well.
The advancement of nutrition, and you mentioned the weightlifting and everything else, I can only imagine how it's had an impact on swimming. Because, for folks who don't watch swimming unless it's the Olympics every 4 years or they're watching the NCAA championships, every time I see the men or the women, you see broad shoulders, no waist, and they just go flying. It just zip, gone. They're gone. So how has that had an impact from, let's just say, 10 years ago versus where we are today with just the physique and the mindset of what these swimmers go through from a physical standpoint to be in position to be great?
Yeah, the sport has definitely evolved significantly over the last 10, 20, 30 years. If you look at the records, the NCAA records, the world records, they've all progressed at a very high level. There's been a lot of improvement. And so I think we're one of the, especially in the individual sport, one of the, few individual sports that had that quick of an advancement. So technique, weightlifting, nutrition, sports psychology all play a pretty major role with all that. And, I was a swimmer not that long ago, it was 20 some years ago, but, I wish I would have known the things as an athlete, that our athletes and our coaches know now with regards to nutrition and strength and conditioning, because it's definitely evolved. And we have a lot of great coaches, swim coaches, a lot of great strength coaches who are, on the cutting edge of those types of things and always really thinking about, all right, what can we do to be better? And I think the improvement in, especially specifically our athletes, has set a lot towards what, the thought processes that our strength coaches put into it, what our swim coaches put into it, each year to get these kids faster and faster, because the faster they get, the harder it gets to improve. And you've really got to hone in on some smaller details to continue to get better each year.
You got it. Well, listen, congratulations on the national championship. Best of luck with the men. And we appreciate you making your debut. We look forward to many more interviews with you.
Yeah, I'd love it. I appreciate you having me on. Thank you.
You got it. Todd DeSorbo, national champion with the ladies, with the University of Virginia. Again, the ACC finishes 1-2 nationally. 1-2. Virginia, NC State. Men get cranked up in Greensboro. Again, that begins today, and we're good to go. Kelly Gramlich froze on me, but she's back, which is good. When we return, we're going to get a little Buddy Boeheim in case you missed it from yesterday. But you know what? There's all kinds of cool sports going on, and that includes football. You heard me. ACC spring football game schedule starts with Duke's spring showcase at Wallace Wade Outdoor Stadium in Durham. That's Saturday morning, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 grandma time out there in Texas. It's right here on ACC Network and the ESPN app. Blue Devils head coach David Cutcliffe entering his 14th season, looking for the Blue Devils to bounce back in 2021. When we return, though, in case you missed it, I mentioned Buddy Boeheim joined us yesterday, shooting lights out. Hopes that continues this weekend as Syracuse jumps on Houston. You will see it and hear it next, right here, Packer and Durham on ACC Network and, of course, on SiriusXM Channel 371.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham. Guess who's back? Kelly Gramlich is back. We missed you, Kelly. I mean, Todd DeSorbo, national champion, swimming, diving coach at University of Virginia, and bam, you froze. What happened down there in beautiful Tigertown?
Look, I have all the love in the world for swimming and diving. I respect the heck out of it. That's one of the most difficult sports to do. I wanted to talk to Todd. And, you know, we had some technical difficulties, Pac, and it was really embarrassing because of all things, internet, whatever, you know, we're doing all this from home. The reason that my connection dropped out was because I forgot to plug in the computer charger. Go ahead, clown me.
No, I'm not. We've done 348 of these shows, all right? And we've had all kinds in this crazy COVID world. You'd never know when something could go haywire, technically. But I got to tell you, Kelly, of 348 editions of Packer Dirt, that is a first since Dirt of, hey, I didn't have my computer plugged in. It's never happened before. So we got that going for us, which is good. I'm glad that's all it was. Believe
me. I wanted to be unique.
Well, you are. That was a given. Listen, that was a given before we tipped this thing off. I know you don't have the assist. Right? It's not about the assist. It's all about the shot. But that is a first. That was a first. All right. Nevertheless, now that we got you back up, ready to roll, Jay Billis will join us coming up at the top of the hour. But in case you missed it, Buddy Boeheim, speaking of shooters and wide open and man feeling it, Buddy Boeheim has been on fire in March. He joined us yesterday from Indianapolis, and we led off with him talking about, man, how did it feel to hear your dear old dad, the coach, Jim Boeheim, speaking so highly of the son? Here's what he had to say.
It means everything, mainly because he was the first person to believe in me before I even believed in myself. I mean, coming up, I would felt like I had to be some amazing player because my dad was a Hall of Fame coach. Everyone expected me to be some great player, and I just felt like I wasn't there yet. I wasn't the player I wanted to be, and he was there the whole way telling me, just keep working hard. You're going to be fine. You're going to be a good player one day. And that's all I needed to hear from him. That's my biggest motivator, my role model, and someone I look up to ever since I was a kid. So hearing that means everything to me because I just want to come here and help Syracuse in any way possible. I didn't know what it would be, if I would just be a role player or a bench player, but any way I was here, I wanted to help him win and just make him proud. And that's means a lot to me. It's my biggest goal is to make everyone proud that supported me and been there for me through it all.
West Virginia caught you. They passed you. They knocked you down. And you guys responded by going on a great run and jumping that lead back out to 11. That to me signified that, you know what, this Syracuse team is ready to go and make a deep run.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, in the first half, I struggled shooting the ball. Gio really kept us in on offense, and our defense was great. We held them to 26 points or so, and 28, 29 maybe. But coming in the second half, we said they were going to score. They were going to make shots. They're too good of a team to not make adjustments, too good of a coach. And they came out, and we were scoring early. We made some shots, and then we kind of went through a drought for about 4 minutes, and a 13-point lead, went to down one. McNeil got going. He hit 3 4 threes in a row. And there were about 8 minutes left, and we didn't panic. And credit to having a tough schedule in the ACC, playing in close games. Virginia game really helped us for this because that was a back-and-forth game too, and we were there the whole way. And this was a similar story. We just kept playing. We knew that if we scored and got stops, that it would be tough to beat us. And everyone contributed. Marek made some great plays down the stretch. Rob Braswell had a big three. Kadari made some big plays. It was Quincy Guerrier had a big dunk. Everyone stepped up. We rebounded. We got out on shooters better. And just a great sign for us as a team that we're going to be a tough out no matter who you are, and we're going to fight to the end.
No doubt about it. I said before the West Virginia game, I thought maybe they should just face guard you, X you, and try to just stop you from touching the ball, because how you've developed as a player, not just a shooter, you're scoring off the bounce, you're scoring in the mid-range. Like, if you touch the ball right now, that can be problematic for a defense. Are you at all surprised somebody, they haven't tried to just completely take you out of it, because it seems like the only recourse right now?
I was definitely surprised last game, because last game I got the cleanest looks I've had in probably a month. The first half, I missed five shots that were like wide open. I was like, man, I'm like wide open. I kind of thought about it a little, but I was definitely a little surprised. And then after the game, Coach Huggins said they switched a couple of times, and I had McNeil on me in the end of the last stretch of the second half. And when I got him on me, I knew he was a little shorter than me. I could shoot over him. So that was big, because they had Matthews on me, who's 6'8", and they go to 6'2 guys. So that was big for me, knowing that I can get in the lane, get my pull up, and also rise over him if I need to. So I was definitely a little surprised, but I also think that's just a testament to this team. And we got weapons. Joe hit four threes in the first half. Marek's just a playmaking five man that can do anything. And we got some guys that can fill it up. So it's just a lot of fun playing. And I think we've shown that everyone's capable of doing something in this offense.
Buddy, I want to get into a little bit of that, you know, just how different this experience is. Obviously, in your hotel room now, can you just take us into what these days will look like from a schedule perspective for you guys? And I know we mentioned off air, but tell for viewers, like, are you able to get extra shots up? How the workouts? Like, take us through what it's like to be preparing for a game in this unique environment.
It's a lot different, but I think that if you make adjustments, and the more focused team will come out stronger always. And that's what we've tried to do. We've emphasized that. We get a practice every day, so we'll go for about an hour, hour and 15, or hour and a half on days like today or tomorrow when we have more rest ahead of us. And then after that, we'll get about 20, 25 minutes to get our own shots up, own work in. So that's something I've really tried to take advantage of, knowing that I won't get any other gym time than our practice slot. So just going hard with GMAC for 20, 25 minutes, getting a really good sweat in. And then about 2 days this week, we'll get a lift in the weight room. And that's cool. We get about 45 minutes, which is good. I like lifting a lot. So, you know, I could maybe use another day or so, but it's good to get in there, try to take care of my body, keep my body right for the game. And we'll get in two or three times. And then the rest is really just downtime. That's where you have to figure out what you're going to do. I've spent time watching games, San Diego State games, West Virginia games, and going to watch some Houston stuff now, and trying to watch movies, whatever it is, doing homework, just trying to take kill time any way possible, spending time with the guys. We're going to go out on the field today for about an hour and play games, whatever it is, try to have some fun. We haven't been outside in a week since we got here, probably since last Monday. So that's definitely something new. And you just have to, make the most of it. You're at the NCAA tournament in the Sweet 16. And it's been a lot of fun having fans at the games, because we didn't have fans at our games all year. So that definitely felt a little normal and felt like a real game. And it was really fun having our fans there.
Yep, surrounded by shooters. Kelly Gramlich, Buddy Boeheim. It's a shooter sandwich today on the show. No assist. None. Zero.
Pack, you know, I'll throw you a few assists. I'll start passing the ball just for you. I'll try to hit you with some dimes today.
There you go. You already have. All right, 1 hour down. Hour two begins with Jay Billis. He's coming up next. It's a busy, busy show. We'll also talk with Michael Sowers, talk a little Duke men's lacrosse. I got a big one coming up against Virginia. All that's coming your way. Phone calls too, 844-SAY-ACCN. Kelly Gramlich filling in for Wes. It's Packer and Durham right here on ACC Network.
Packer and Durham.